I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
You've come to the right place, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Newcastle United are up against Oxford United in the FA Cup. Arsenal are away to Bournemouth. And can Spurs beat Southampton? Hello, everybody. My name's Marcus. He's Luke and he's Pete.
Hi.
Tight. That was tight at the start, but I appreciated you just pushed through.
Squeezed it in. I think you're the most enthusiastic podcast introducer I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Do you think?
I think so, yeah. I've listened to a lot of podcasts this week because a certain vessel has released a million of varying quality. And everyone just seems a bit
trust
dour.
When it comes to varying quality, we are the experts.
Exactly.
do not doubt our credentials.
Get out of our wheelhouse. Yeah. Okay, how much money you got behind you?
Oh, but, what's next? Technical errors. Pathetically unoriginal.
There we go.
But Marcus, a lot of people can be a bit cynical.
Oh, yeah.
Max is obviously a bit too cool for school, a bit kind of, I went to Oxford. Can't remember who does the other one.
Yeah.
You are very enthusiastic.
It's very kind of
like it. Can't write puns.
Because if you can maintain enthusiasm for the unmitigated dog shit that is the Premier League this season. Good for you, mate.
Now that is varying that. Quality.
Yeah.
They don't deserve it.
It's not varying, Pete.
Yeah.
It's Liverpool and that's it.
A lot of people are getting very annoyed about Fantasy Premier League this year because people who... It's either you opt into the Liverpool project and get a lot of Liverpool players or you don't and you lose.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like automatically at a handicap because you haven't chosen any other players from any other team.
No, but you can only have three per team, bro.
Exactly. I know, but you need that nucleus of Liverpool players because if you don't, you're just going to be losing points because other teams are variable.
You come in and talk about nuclei to a man like Marcus Speller. You're out of order.
That is a bit piss poor.
Yeah.
So as Luke will tell you, you need one Liverpool defender, probably Trent or Andy.
VVD.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of cost-wise because the boys out wide get a lot of assists.
Yeah.
And then you probably have Mane because he doesn't cost the astronomical amount of Salah. Na 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 na,
money.
I was thinking of Sané, the Man City player.
It still works,
Works.
But not as much because he's not on the pitch as much.
Injured,
of course.
Yeah.
He's been injured as well. But it's the FA Cup this week.
Yeah, let's do a show.
Are we on? Are we on?
The airing of grievances is an important part of Football Ramble Daily. But let's do a show.
How many Liverpool players you got in your fantasy team? I bet you haven't got any.
I don't think I do have any.
Why would you have any?
Why would I have any? I've got Paul Dummett at the back.
We're recording this.
That's why you're annoyed, you are.
Yeah, I'm propping up the tables with my Harry Maguire in defence.
Pete will find something to be annoyed about. I get the stick for being the angry kind of gammon all the time, but Pete is honestly the most negative man I've ever met.
I'm a woke negative man, though.
Yeah, you are.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It confuses people,
I'm annoyed about the gammon.
But I say it's a terrible combination, but terribly entertaining.
Can I please point out to everyone listening here on Friday that we record this on a Thursday. So what has happened is I've had to come to the studio and the most recent game of football I've watched, and I'm sure you guys are the same, is Manchester United 0, Burnley 2.
Yeah.
I'm getting fed up, avoiding swear words.
Yeah.
I'm getting fed up with a product that continually markets itself as an A1 kind of piece of Wagyu beef.
Say A5 is the best.
A5, thank you, is Wagyu beef, but is actually a half pounder with extra onions that you get from Ken's fucking kebabs.
Yeah.
Because there are so many teams in this division who are stinking the place out every single week. Liverpool, the only team that are actually consistently good. Everyone else, and I mean everyone, has the potential to be absolutely dreadful at any given moment.
True, but I have to defend Leicester a little bit.
No, they've been shit recently.
They've been shit recently.
They won 4-1. You're only as good as your last result.
Yeah, but before that, they were shit.
I suggest that you are going on about the stench of the Premier League. Well, I think...
The bog of everlasting stench.
I think that there was a little whiff of Febreze in the Arsenal end at Stamford Bridge.
It was just a terrible... the quality of the game was poor.
I know, Luke Moore, but everyone...
Did you see Mustafi and Luis together? You can't tell me that belongs in the top flight.
No, and hence they broke it up.
Yeah, exactly.
They made a decision.
Exactly.
This is an explosive relationship, like Jagger and Richards, or Doherty and Barat, and it has to be separated at all costs.
Mm. It won't go on as long as Jagger and Richards, of course, but I think you're being a little bit harsh, because I'm sure everybody... And the Premier League would testify this. I think everyone's got an eye on the Euros in the summer. It's not just me. But until we get to that, because I'm sure we'll work
it out. I'll tell you, I've got an eye on the Euros in the summer. Yeah. The physiotherapy team in England.
But let's start with the game which will happen on Monday night. Bournemouth at home to Arsenal. A glamour tie in the FA Cup because it's all a Premier League affair. But the 10 men of Arsenal fought back twice to earn a point at Stamford Bridge. And I'll tell you something. Arsenal fans have not been in good cheer like that for a little while.
I did respect that. I respected how they battled back.
They really did battle well. And it is incredible sometimes the result or the performance or the unlikelihood or the unlikely nature of something bringing a fan base a bit of hope and a bit of togetherness. Because that Arsenal away end, I've not seen an Arsenal away support or any support for that matter. Sing and cheer and thrust their fists in the air for that long. An Arsenal fan friend of mine. That's what I want to say.
Arsenal fan TV friend.
Certainly not.
Was it Jim?
But I do respect them.
Was it Jim?
It wasn't Jim.
Oh no, you said friend. Sorry.
lost his voice. Celebrating
he lost
one.
His voice
for the second goal for the Bayern.
Makes me sad how far they done fell. lost his voice celebrating a battling draw at Stamford Bridge.
I'll tell you what, Sexy Bella's levelling. They lost three players on him at one point.
I love
three players. Still squeezed the ball through. Sexy Bellas.
I love high fashion Hector. And I'll tell you what,
he's a beautiful boy.
They battled back brilliantly and they deserve the credit for that. And the Mustafi Luiz kind of thing aside, they showed something that they haven't showed consistently in the past, right? And that's why people like it. And also people, football fans generally like that kind of try as hard as you can and we don't care if you get beat as long as you try.
Yes.
And Arsenal have not done that for about six seasons. Yeah. So I can understand why it's like a breath of Febreze, as you said. Yeah. Chelsea, however, are a team with a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And I would venture this tentatively. Mm. N'Golo Kante getting dragged for not playing very well, that is end of day stuff for Chelsea. Because that man is the most reliable man in all of sport. And if you have to take him off for 20 minutes to go, then you're in big, big trouble. Well, maybe he had an injury, I can't remember.
The thing that impressed me about Arsenal, obviously they went 1-0 down and Chelsea were on top. But they did something that was really good in that they defended quite well. Chelsea will be, of course, very disappointed. That
say what you need to say,
aside from that moment. Well, to be fair, if I may, Jim's not here, so I can get this point in. To be fair to Mustafi, you saw the look on his face. He sold them all up the river. And Luiz, you know, if you give Luiz a scenario like that, which Mustafi did, then you know what's going to happen. So essentially,
if you leave Arsenal a load of gun on the table. Let's just say, let's take it Billy Connolly. If you put David Luiz in the room
with a tea cozy,
he's going to put it on his head.
He is,
it would be more difficult than any other head, though. You'd imagine. You know?
He'd have to work
a lot
hard
of hair under there.
Indeed, yeah.
So but overall, they defended the right.
They did, but because he goes off and Mustafi's looking, thinking, I did that, didn't I? And he's like,
yes, I did. Was like, you know, when Wallace out of Wallace and Gromit, they get the, like something goes wrong, he puts his hands up like that and he goes, it's the wrong trousers.
Yeah.
I've given you the wrong ball.
It's not Wensley Day. Yeah, absolutely. That's what it was.
But did you think they defended well for Chelsea's second goal?
Not so much, but they did defend well. Mustafi had to pick himself up because he had a fair bit of criticism. Justifiably so, Arsenal fans would argue, I'm sure.
When you do that, you're going to get criticism.
Indeed you are. But they stuck in the game. And when you're in the game and they're only one goal ahead, you always have a chance. And they took that chance quite magnificently with Martinelli. Yes, there was a slip and he rode his luck because that touch he took, he would have lost the ball. But the fact is he made a 70-yard run or something like that and slotted coolly in.
Something else for Arsenal fans to get excited about, isn't it?
Martinelli looks decent.
Yeah. Chelsea got serious problems, I think. I mean, they've got problems. I mean, Lampard said it himself. Got problems finishing chances.
Yeah. That is their main problem for me.
Keeper Pete. I mean, he's escaped a lot of criticism.
What do you think of the rumours that they're trying to sell Kepa?
Well, I think he's not been very good.
Yeah, but do you think that's a bit hasty, though, considering the amount of money they spent on him and considering his age? And if we're going to pluck somebody from the echelons and liken him to, say, like David De Gea when he came to the Premier League, it was kind of like, oh, he looks a bit brittle and one thing and another. And of course, he improved immensely. Are you surprised?
And they dropped off a cliff again.
Well, come on.
It's a fair comparison because they've got a similar physical profile, haven't they? He looks a bit lightweight.
I know they're both Spanish, but I can't think of another
The main
one.
Problem with Kepa is that I can't really put this any more scientifically than this. He just doesn't make saves he needs to make all the time. And so that's a real problem. And I think you could just spin a wheel of fortune with Chelsea and select any number of problems. And because the Premier League is so average this season, they still sit fairly high on the table.
Fourth?
But crucially, they can't be many points off like 14th or something because it's very close there. But Lampard's got problems with who he wants to play at fullback, which is a key part of it. I mean, you've seen him play as Aspilicueta left back, so we can play Reece James right back. He's played Emerson there. He's played Marcus Alonso there. So there are issues around the pitch for them. They've obviously had key defenders missing for injury, central defenders missing at times for injury as well. All this stuff is adding up to them just being horrendously inconsistent. And that will feel that game. It's a cliche, I know, but when you score in the 84th minute to finally break through against 10 men and then you don't win, it feels like a defeat and it feels like a victory for Arsenal.
That speaks on the keeper side of things. Lampard obviously wanted to bring Shea Given at the club.
Did he?
That was denied.
He's retired,
but he was
no, as a goalkeeping coach, Marcus. But instead of doing that,
Steve Harper.
They promoted Hilario.
No one noticed.
They promoted the much maligned Hilario into the position.
Ah, good
but
to
they
hear
have
his
got,
name.
They've got Petr Cech check around the club as well. Get him back in.
Luke, you agree with me.
Give Kepa a Petr Cech helmet.
It's always nice to hear the name Hilario.
Hilario. It's Hilario to hear it. Yeah,
it's
great.
Well, it's interesting, Pete, as you say, the goalkeeping situation is one that all eyes will be on with.
There's a lot of keepers around that club, that's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, all I'm saying is that Burnley might get a fair penny for Nick Pope should someone try and entice
Carlo Cudicini still works for the club.
Does he?
Out loud.
He's Why still
is
on
just
the bench.
All keepers?
Just a lot of keepers. Terrible keeper in the number one shirt.
Yeah. That's why he's under pressure.
There's so many legendary goalkeepers around the club.
Every look, he sees a goalkeeper with 400 Premier League appearances. Yeah,
tutting at
him. Yeah, shaking his head. What are you talking about? Nothing.
Yeah.
But if you mentioned Nick Pope there, that's a red rag to a bull for me, because I think Nick Pope is the best English keeper in the Premier League at the moment.
All right, we'll get a chance to talk about Burnley.
Why don't you bring him up then?
If you talk about it,
it's like a dog whistle. Yeah. I'm like Pavlov's dog. You ring the bell, I'm going to salivate over Nick Pope.
Don't mention Pav now.
Big show, Pav.
Oh, mate.
The Ramble keeper for years.
Oh, for years.
I was thinking of Pavel Sanicek, but...
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
That's where Luke and my heads are with that. Yeah. Thinking, oh, Big Show Pav, he was a good keeper, wasn't he? He was a good keeper. Probably still is, given half the chance, yeah.
I think he's quite fat now.
rude. And he will listen to this, is the best thing.
Yeah.
Bournemouth, of course, are hosting Arsenal. Otherwise known as the Comeback Kings, and Arsenal, not Bournemouth. But they got a good win against Brighton. My goodness, it was needed.
Yeah.
They've not been in good shakes. And talking of goalkeepers, Aaron Ramsdale was in excellent form for the Cherries. Some marvellous saves he made. Nice to see him in goal rather than in the stands, of course.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe one or two of those saves he might have dived into the stands, because obviously goalkeepers, on the new FIFA game, goalkeepers, that every goalkeeper saves, they celebrate.
Save it. They celebrate.
They do this weird celebration. And I know goalkeepers, unless it's a penalty shootout save or something like that, they don't really get to fully celebrate.
What, you think if it's a really good save, they should run into the crowd?
No, I'm
drink
saying...
Drink a beer and then come back.
Where's you getting the beer from?
Yeah. Jordan Pickford.
Not in the Premier League. Maybe in the FA Cup. Are you allowed beer in the stands for the FA Cup matches?
I don't believe so.
What?
I don't know, though. I'm not sure.
They might get better attendances.
Bournemouth, I don't know. Part of me doesn't know where that win came from, because they've looked awful. But on the other hand, Brighton are terrible away from home. Like, terrible.
But the goalkeeper made a huge difference. Bournemouth took their chances. And it's the type of result that Bournemouth just needed a win. Because Eddie Howe, in some of the post-match interviews we've seen recently, has just been going, yeah, you know, we're trying to sort it out. And when a manager talks, quite frankly, like that to the press,
I think it's going to make... After they lost to Norwich, he said... It's the kind of thing that makes you consider your position.
Yeah.
Big things to say.
Well, that's what I mean. Some of the things that have come out of his mouth, it's not a case of, yeah, you know, we're not in a good way, but we're trying to sort it out. Like, some managers are a bit more open than others. And I did worry for old Eddie. But that's a good win. And they're hosting Arsenal in the Cup. And the funny thing is, though, when you see Bournemouth hosting Arsenal, despite Arsenal's, you know, heroics against Chelsea in a game that they should have been beaten and they scraped a draw, you look at that and I think, I can't really pick a winner.
Yeah, I know. You can't pick a winner for any game between any top flight teams unless it's Liverpool.
Yeah. It's very true.
Yeah. We're recording on Thursday, as I've already said. Liverpool playing Wolves tonight.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about it. Liverpool will win.
Although,
that's fine.
Although Wolves are a bit Hollywood, as you say.
It will win. They'll win. Liverpool will win. Okay. Wolves are Hollywood to an extent.
Right.
But, I mean, Liverpool are Brad Pitt and Robert De Niro and Leonardo, all rolled into one.
Joe Pesci coming out of retirement.
Yeah. Joe Pesci could probably play up front for Liverpool and they'd still be brilliant.
What happens if they sneak a couple of points against Liverpool? What do we do then with the edit?
You can't sneak a couple of points. You either get one or three.
Yeah.
But if you... Well, so it's a... Say
no, I want to hear him get out of this.
Well, say the expectation is you get one.
Yeah.
You sneak in an extra couple. That's 3 points, baby. That's the full slice of pizza.
It's the full slice of pizza. Anyway, talking of...
But what do I do? What do I do if you mess it up? Should we insert something? Have you going?
I've already said I'm recording the day before.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Liverpool will win, and if they don't, then you can all laugh at me later.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Yeah. Ha ha. Ha. Anyway, can we call this result Newcastle United at home to Oxford United? Is it going to be another smash and grab?
It probably will be. With the prize on offer,
would you take
the promised lands, the uncharted territory that is the fifth round of the FA Cup?
What a chance! What a chance they have!
They are the absolute moped burglars of the top flight. Those last two games, unbelievable.
But they've realised it though.
They're the shed unlockers.
Yeah. What they've realised?
Not the main house, just the shed.
It's like. In Die Hard with a Vengeance, when all the coppers are kind of elsewhere and kids start robbing the shops and stuff, Newcastle realise, hang on.
It's the London riots.
Exactly. It's a bit of that. Everyone's defences are down, don't know what they're doing. We can smash and grab a few points.
Steve Bruce has walked into a team meeting and said, I've got some news. Prick out your ears. Yeah. Every other team in this division is a shit. I've just realised it. I want you to realise it as well.
Don't know why either.
Now go away and enjoy yourself.
Don't bother attacking, because when you do attack, you lose the ball and you panic.
Absolutely.
So just pack the box. Yep. They'll fuck up at some point, play for the dead ball, and watch Jordan Pickford with his outstretched arms sitting in the net.
I mean,
going,
it really...
Why isn't this... It's like when you're in a dream and you can't punch that hard.
Yeah,
it's like you're, he's in the net and he's going, this usually works.
Yeah.
Pete, they've said it's a goal.
Is it fair to say that question about to Florian Lejeune about how he disposed of a dead body has really galvanised him ahead of this game?
It was such a weird last 5 minutes.
It's like he's gone, yes, I think I could successfully dispose of a dead body. And that's given me a lot of confidence.
And everyone knows it.
I saw the highlights, and of course I knew the result watching the highlights.
I watched the match, man.
I bet you did.
Very upsetting.
And never leave at the end, before the end, rather. When I started to watch the highlights, I thought, there has to be a misprint. There's got to be a misprint on the internet.
Yeah.
Surely, because Everton were all over them, and then when Holgate had that shot, which... Dubravka sort of saved fairly comfortably. He sort of trotted back and had a little bit of a smile because of course, there's what, about 10, 15 minutes left with 2-0 up. It will be 3-0 perhaps.
Cruising.
Complete cruise control. And then Lejeune hooks one in. But even when he hooks one in, it's
you
not
just
like
think it's too late. We're too late.
Exactly, because it's not 5 minutes towards the end. It was, 93rd minute.
No.
So you think, okay, fine. And then, of course, they get a free kick and the ball's pumped in. And then all hell breaks
loose.
Everyone's
covering their genitals.
Did you celebrate, Pete?
I did. It was amazing. I just haven't seen anything like it for a very long time. There was a patch against Manchester United a couple of months ago when Newcastle United played all right. The rest of the season, they have been abject, but they are carving out points.
Results, yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
Did you see Carlo Ancelotti after the match said, the players are really sad. I said to them, I lost the Champions League final after leading 3-0. These things happen.
Yeah.
Bit of perspective.
That's what he said. Apparently he said that's the first thing he said to Steve Bruce after the game.
Is that right?
Steve Bruce was like, look, I feel a bit awkward about that. And he was like, don't worry about it.
Oh, Brucey's face was fantastic when they scored the second.
Face is always fantastic.
Well, indeed. But it was particularly fantastic when the ball went in. And he was like, yes! Can we leave now? Do we have to? I feel very embarrassed about all this sort of thing. I'm very glad it's happened.
Can I just send him a bottle of wine rather than have a share one with him, because I don't want to be here.
Yeah, because you should have beaten us, Carlo.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Steve Bruce having a bottle of wine, it would be a bottle, with Carlo Ancelotti, right? Strange enough. All right, we've reached some sort of weird promised land there, and then Steve Bruce is comforting Carlo, saying, no, Carlo, you were better than us, you should have beaten us.
Yeah.
And Carlo's going, yeah, I know, Steve, you say that, but you still got a point.
Carlo Ancelotti would be swilling the wine around, smelling it, probably making a note on his wine app on the bouquet of it, and Steve Bruce would be blowing on the bottle going like that.
To do this back home.
Incredible.
What an amazing
Will they
point.
Get past Oxford at home?
I don't know. Just a little quick mention before we move on. It was good to see Moise Kean get his first goal.
Yes, it meant a great deal to him.
Yes, indeed. But Oxford United, back to the task at hand. Oxford United, currently fifth in League One, same points as Sunderland and Portsmouth.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, Oxford United beat Hartlepool in the third round of the FA Cup. Can they break Pete Donaldson's heart? Can they break Pete Donaldson's heart again by knocking out another one of your beloved North East sides?
It's all set up for it. I will say it's all set up for
Newcastle. Going after you personally, Pete.
Hartlepool, then Newcastle. I mean,
we could get Newcastle United could get an England style draw right up to the semis or something.
Yeah.
Or if you like, a Portsmouth style draw in 2008.
Very much so, yeah.
Who did you play?
Well, the only team that Portsmouth played Man United, Old Trafford. Yeah.
Okay, that's the greatest robbery in the competition.
That's a big one.
We battered them.
Was it Everton-esque?
Tell you what, we batter him now.
And the best thing, yeah, and the best thing about that was it stopped Man United winning a treble or a quadruple or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You bastards. Yeah. Oxford United, quite pleasingly, have a young lad on their books called Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, the cameras will be on him, I imagine.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll even be in the squad, but I think he's one of the youth teams, so maybe we might see him. But they've also got Wales international Ben Woodburn on loan from Liverpool and 34-year-old Marcus Speller, Leatherhead under-18 replacement, Jamie Mack.
Yeah.
No better than what we've already got.
Yeah, I believe that's how he likes to be known.
How old does it make you feel knowing that Jamie Mackie was the young buck to replace you at Leatherhead Reserve?
I heard that rumour. I don't know whether that's
true.
Was he good
even then?
And he's Scottish.
He must have been. I mean, our career certainly took
diverged somewhat.
Yeah, yeah, I've never heard him doing a podcast. So, no. You know, judge us on our results.
You don't listen to any others, do you?
We were talking about him on Greatest Games recently in a particular recording, which will be out soon. But yeah, Jamie Mackie, 34.
Yeah. He's almost certainly going to break the hearts of the Geordie Nation this weekend, even though...
If he does play.
I think he scored like two goals all season.
Yeah, do you want his goal record? Wimbledon, 13 games, 0 goals. Milton Keynes Dons, 3 games, 0 goals. Exeter City, 87 matches, 19 goals. Yeah. Better.
Can I have him on first to score? Because he's clearly going to get one now.
I'm going to support him just by saying, and again, I'm freestyling here, I haven't prepped this. I believe he was on the end of a horrendous tackle by El Hash Jufri. He got quite a bad injury.
Right.
And I don't know if he's been the same player since then. He's at QPR. I don't know if he's been the same player since then. Right. So let's not stick the boot in on a guy who's already had
the boot sticker to get him.
Literally, and who relieved everyone from under the heel of Marcus Speller at Leatherhead.
Yes, okay, right.
Well, actually, my
tyrannical reign.
It was the under-18s.
Without him, Marcus wouldn't be here.
Yeah, it's true.
Without Mackie, we wouldn't have...
No, because I was too old for the side.
Must remember to thank him.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he knows that, because I'd have kept him out the side.
Yeah.
Because there was not enough room on that bench for both of us. All right, PT, let's have some emails. You email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now PT is reading it out. Well done. We got an email from someone who is anonymous. Thanks mainly to the fact they've used a disposable email account from gorillamail.com.
Ooh.
Guys, I can't remember when it was, but this is the second time you've read out this absolute bullshit from Damien or whatever his fucking name is about league points being awarded for FA Cup progression. I swear to God, I'll never listen again. If he gets on again, and I've been listening since it sounded like you recorded a show on a bowl of fucking cornflakes. Damien, mate, you're a prick.
Yeah.
Rude.
Jim Campbell.
Angry man.
I think we should give out Damien's email address to this guy and they can just sort it out themselves.
Lots of really good reasons we can't do that.
Yeah, I know.
Men of Anowick says, hi guys, big fan of the show, first time emailer, thank you. I feel I should provide you guys with some context about the gigantic banner displayed at Pardew's first game at Odder Den Haag last weekend, as mentioned on Monday's show. The ghost which needs busting by Pards and Co. is the Degradati spook, or the relegation ghost. This is a metaphor often used for teams who struggle against relegation for most of the season. As the ghost looms over the club, the threat of relegation becomes ever larger.
Oh, that makes it even better. I did wonder why they went for that, but you know, I thought, fine, but that's really good.
Pardew has made 6 loan signings in January so far. The club plays on an artificial pitch and they've got a striker called Penis. All ingredients for a new manager bounce.
Yeah, we talked about Shaquille Penis a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we did. Followed by the customary Pardew implosion of results. I thought it would be naughty of me not to read the rest of the email out though. Hello to Sam Crawford, who's pointed out that, yes, my friends, Orban, Glasgow and Nurston, the horses, have all been punched by a Celtic supporter. So another horse-punching situation in football. Oh. Well done, well done, that man.
Well done,
Kevin Maguire, 36. Who? Look at Kevin Maguire. Look at how old he looks, 36.
Uh-huh.
Look at him.
Bloody hell.
Look at him.
That's Charlie Adam-esque.
36.
Bloody hell.
Wow.
Born in 36, more like.
Jesus.
Hey, that would make him 83 if he was born later in the year.
Summer of Love?
Yeah. If he was born later in the year.
Can I use this email section,
to air some grievances?
Let me just double check, because I haven't read the running order this week.
Okay.
To mention a prediction that Mostradamus and Nostromarcus almost certainly thinks is going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Watford played Aston Villa on Tuesday.
Yep.
They were beaten.
Yes.
They play Tranmere tonight in their cup replay. If they get through that, they play Man United this weekend in the FA Cup. if they beat Tranmere, they will still beat Man United. Three games in 5 days or whatever it is, they will still beat Man United.
Oh my goodness, always a dig.
Not ideal, is it?
No. There we are. Righto, Petey. Let's have a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show, everybody, on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Now then, let's talk about everybody's favourite second team in the Premier League. It's Southampton. Unless, of course, you're a Southampton fan, of course.
Then they're probably about your fifth.
Oh, your favourite. Hasenhüttl's Hunks got a great win away to Palace this week. What a win it. What a peach from Nathan Redmond.
Lovely one.
It was an absolute beauty.
A lovely one. Was it? Did you enjoy it more than you enjoyed Jay Rodriguez's one?
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
Yeah, that's how highly I
really.
I
rated, but Jay Rodriguez did show a lot of respect to United for scoring a goal of that quality at Old Trafford, though, Marcus. Is that fair?
He did. we're there. We're nearly there. Okay. Don't try and gloss over this Southampton section.
Sorry.
After 12 matches, the first 12 matches of the season, Southampton were 19th on 8 points. They'd scored 11 goals. They'd conceded 29. Not very good. 12 matches later, they're ninth on 31 points, one ahead of Arsenal. They're 3 points off Manchester United in fifth, although Manchester United seem to have an impenetrable force around them, so nobody can get that fifth spot. And in these past 12 matches, they've scored 20 and conceded 13. A superb turnaround by the pride of Hampshire, Luke Moore.
The Premier League is trash.
Yeah.
It is trash.
Southampton, you have to say the last 12 games have been quite magnificent considering what happened in those first 12.
He's done brilliantly to make, as I think I said this before, he's done brilliantly to make that a kind of watershed moment. Admittedly, they went and lost the two league games after that as well. But since then, they've been largely decent. And as I said at the time, I heard that the ownership at Southampton didn't want to use that as an excuse to fire the coach because they rated him and they thought the players were to blame. And if he was given time, he could instill something in them that would improve them. And to their immense credit, he's done that. He's obviously a good manager. And I said when there was talk, I think we were away at the time. We came back, we did a shaft, they lost 9-0. And we said at the time, it's obviously not his fault. If he gets fired off this, he'll get another job, like, straight away. He's really well respected. And I'm pleased, purely because I think it's mad how often managers are fired. It's great for this show, of course, but it's mad for football in general. So I'm pleased he's been able to turn it around, because I'm actually quite impressed with him. He seems like a decent operator.
That Nathan Redmond goal, they're getting a lot of good stuff out of him. And Armstrong scored again, another lovely one. I mean, Southampton fans will be singing good goals. We only score good goals soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, that would be brazen of them. I mean, they started pretty well against Wolves. I mean, the first half against Wolves, they were very good.
They were, yeah.
Obviously, they eventually lost the game. But
Wolves only wanted to win the game because they thought, it is a bit spectacular if we come from 2-0.
Now this will be a headline. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Ings got a good goal against Spurs on New Year's Day, didn't he?
Oh, I'll tell you Ings, what, he's going to be starting up front for England in the Euros. Blimey.
They are dropping like
a man who's done both ACLs is currently our best fit option up front for England.
Oh, dearie me. Spurs beat Norwich 2-1. About time they got a league win and a goal in 2020, of course, Tottenham Hotspur. But yes, they beat Spurs 2-1. I mean,
They beat Norwich 2-1.
Norwich 2-1.
I haven't seen this game, so I can't.
I mean, they got a fortuitous winner. And Norwich did have a bit of the play, so I mean,
I read that Norwich were the better team in the second half, but I haven't seen it.
It's an intriguing situation. Southampton at home to Spurs. I can't pick a winner.
No,
I know it's not the Premier League, but I mean they're two Premier League sides.
One thing that's really interesting, I didn't see the game, but I saw Mourinho's comments. It was either after the game or before it, where he just came out of nowhere and just started talking, asking the journalists if they've heard if Man United are signing Bruno Fernandes.
Yes.
Right. And he did it like a real glint in his eye. And obviously Bruno Fernandes is represented by Jorge Mendes.
Right. Okay.
And a few people, I mean, possibly desperate Spurs fans, but a few people have read into that and said, I wonder if Mourinho has persuaded Fernandes to come in the summer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so he's not going to go to United this January. And he's just trying to get a rise out of everyone. Because if you look at the clip, I don't know if you haven't seen it, go and check it out.
It was all he was talking about, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really strange.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, because I did think to myself, I thought he might be saying, you know, well, Solskjaer's been given time and I wasn't given time and all that.
He says that a lot as well.
I know he does. I just assumed he was spinning that yarn.
And he had Keane on the telly.
I wonder if he's persuaded Fernandes to come and sign for Spurs in the summer, in which case Levy will haggle over a couple of million. They won't get him and he'll go to Man United anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that could happen.
For inflated fee.
I think you're probably right there.
Yeah. But if Spurs can put together a bit of a run, I mean, teams like Manchester United, Chelsea, they're kind of falling away. They could again just default themselves into a Champions League spot.
Oh yeah, like you would think one of these sides, like a Spurs or something, will not raise their game. But the FA Cup's there now with Liverpool, obviously winning it all in the Champions League. Liverpool haven't been brilliant; they've been okay. But with their understandable kind of obsession with trying to win the league,
yeah,
I think the FA Cup. I mean, to be honest, Liverpool will probably do a double this season, but the FA Cup's there, so Spurs away to Southampton, I don't know. I'd quite fancy Southampton, to be perfectly honest.
Well, it's the Mourinho factor as well, though. He'll be desperate to win win something.
And get one over Liverpool and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah.
The aforementioned Norwich are away to Burnley. Burnley, of course, won at Old Trafford. They're the club's first win at Old Trafford since 1962. This was an interesting stat. Sean Dyche has now beaten 27 of the 29 teams he's faced in the Premier League. He's failed against Arsenal and Sheffield United. But he's only played Sheffield United once. He's played Arsenal, I think, 9 times. So Arsenal, a bit of a bogey side for him. You wouldn't think Arsenal would be Burnley's bogey side, would you? quite frankly.
It's taken Burnley a long time to win at Old Trafford, hasn't it?
Yeah, 1962 was the last time.
Is that they beat United or they beat at Old Trafford?
At Old Trafford.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Burnley, it was a great result for them. Yeah, go on then, Man United.
Well, it's just awful, awful stuff. I mean, it's their worst top flight season for 30 years, I think, so far.
You know, the other odd stat was that I think they'd only lost to Palace at home this season in the league.
Mm. And I thought their defending from set pieces has just gotten worse. If they're not getting any guidance on the training ground, I'm afraid Harry Maguire has to step up and marshal his goddamn defence, because it's just embarrassing.
Well, Maguire seems a shadow of the player he's been in previous seasons.
You can't blame injuries for looking that disjointed.
They also didn't really seem to do any of the things that you expect a team at home to do when they're chasing the game. Like, they didn't move the ball fast. They didn't try and exploit the flanks and shuffle Burnley around and get them properly defended. They seem to play very sort of narrowly.
Yeah.
But this is the problem with not having...
Burnley were by far the better team, despite only having like a quarter of the possession and nowhere near the amount of shots.
It was a weird thing. And playing a really basic kind of like setup, two strike. You know, they like them two strikers. Yeah, yeah. They just get it in there, play nice and simple. And the problem is like when you've got a manager that seems so inexperienced, youth, just and you've got a lot of young players on the field, when they don't take their chances and then they go a goal down, they just hide. Nobody wants to take responsibility because they don't want to find themselves on the back page, because Manchester United as a team are a massive global brand that people talk and talk and talk about. So if you lose the ball, you're in so much trouble. When it was Fergie's lot, you obviously had a bit more support for them. I just don't think they're getting that kind of support.
No,
and they're scared of losing the ball.
What do you think about it, Mark?
If you're a young player, like I said, and you're coming in, the stadium is called the Theatre of Dreams, or nicknamed the Theatre of Dreams, of course. Now, whatever one may think of that, but I mean, it is quite an awe-inspiring stadium, even though the actual stadium itself isn't too great. But you're a young player. It is one of the biggest football clubs in the world in terms of status and all the rest of it, not in terms of performance, obviously. You come in there, you know, Greenwood was thrown on. You can say, oh, right, go on, Greenwood, you know, save us, for crying out loud. I mean, he's done well, but what is this saying? This is now negative experience a lot of these young players are getting. You know, Wan-Bissaka goes, I think, bloody hell, I'm going to Manchester United. Yeah. It's now negative. You hear the boos.
But also, what type of team are they? What type of football do they play?
Well, then Solskjaer says, we need quality signings. Well, okay, but they've made a few signings. And I would say quality ones. You know, Wan-Bissaka was a good signing, and Maguire, yeah, okay, they paid way over the odds, but that's unfortunately the game these days for some clubs. Do they need quality signings? I mean, yes, any team improves with a quality signing by definition. But have they, I mean, what have they got? The fifth or sixth best squad in the league? Now, I know they're fifth in the league, but they are way off. This is not clicking. I mean, people are saying that Solskjaer should go, and there's the usual headlines and so on. You have a minority of people saying, well, hang on, they need to give Solskjaer a bit more time. You know, people aren't saying Lampard needs to go and whatnot. But there's talk that Solskjaer will have another two transfer windows. Well, I think that's mad. I think he's got this one. We're in this one now. Why would you give him the transfer window in the summer?
Do you know, here's a little conspiracy theory for you. It's not in the Glazers' interests at this point to change it all up, because Edward was taking all the flack.
Yep.
Like 3 or 4 years ago, you couldn't move for complaints and protests and everything about the Glazers. And that went back since they've owned the club. No one's talking about the Glazers now. Yeah. They're talking about Woodward and Solskjaer.
Yep.
You know, they're such a commercial powerhouse and will be for a decent amount of time to come. You know, unless the unthinkable happens and they get relegated out of the Premier League, which isn't going to happen, they're still going to be a huge, huge thing because they're so far ahead worldwide in their commercial operations of pretty much any other club bar, you know, Real Madrid and Barcelona. So, it suits them now to have this because they're not getting any criticism. But to put it into real perspective, this time last season may not have had a bad season, but they finished sixth. They bluffed their way really into the quarterfinal of the Champions League, were knocked out by Barcelona, that mad night at Paris Saint-Germain where they were woeful in the first leg and turned it around in a Halley's Comet event, basically. They had a poor season. I can't quite remember what I did in the FA Cup, but they didn't. They get knocked out by Wolves, didn't they, in the quarters. So they're 10 points worse off now than they were this time last season.
Yeah.
And the Premier League is such a different table this season that they were sixth this time last season with 44 points. They're now fifth with 34 points. So 10 points worse off. It's very, very hard to make the argument that with the current model they have and the current setup they have, that Solskjaer is the best option. If you're gonna insist on running your team like this and not have a sporting director and not have this, that and the other, just go and get the best coach you can.
Yeah.
Like Michael Cox was saying today, that and I agree with him, that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is probably the least qualified coach in the whole Premier League. So how can you justify him being there? Now, I understand that might be a block to someone like Pochettino going there. He might think, if you're not going to have that off-field setup with the sporting director and all the rest of it, I don't want to go there. And United did try and get a sporting director a while back. I think they tried to get Marotta, didn't they, from Italy. I think he was either at Juventus or went to Inter or the other way around, I forget. And so they have entertained that idea in the past. But there's got to be some reason they're not doing it. And I wonder if it's just because they're just fine as they are. It's a commercial operation and that's it.
Well, you talk about the commercial operation, but also, though, it does help the Glazers, as you say, that all the heat is on those two. So then if the Glazers suddenly go, right, we're getting rid of them and then we're going to appoint, they line up someone decent. So if it is Pochettino, say, I don't know, Allegri or somebody like that, and come in, then the Glazers look like, oh, actually, they've made a good decision, you know. Yeah. I don't know if they're playing the puppet masters to that extent, but you never know with these people.
I think Pochettino will end up at Man City.
Yeah, all right. Well, you're going against a certain Man United player's babbling last month.
Yeah, footballers talk all the time about all sorts of stuff.
But on the Burnley side, they're now on, I think, 30 points.
They are.
With people like Newcastle picking up points, it's a nightmare situation for like Villa, Norwich, yeah. West Ham, like they're in real trouble now.
Yeah, certainly everybody down the bottom of the table has had a sort of a win of late.
Sorry, Mark, I was just going to say quickly, like United's next two league games, they are at home to Wolves and away to Chelsea. Mm. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. They could be, I mean, they're fifth now, fine, and that kind of that's a fig leaf for them. The fact they're in fifth,
yeah,
but they could be tenth in a few weeks' time.
Could get relegated.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Have you seen the rest of the teams in that division?
Chris Wood, double figures.
Great stuff.
Mm. He's having a good time.
Don't see many New Zealand players scoring banging goals in the Premier League.
You don't. He's only one behind Salah and Mane.
Yeah. I read today.
Hey, one for the fantasy team.
I read today that Serge Aurier has got quite a lot of assists, but more assists than you'd think.
Is that right? Again, yeah. Another one.
Yeah.
Stick him in there.
Get him in the fantasy team.
If you've used up your Liverpool allocation, there's two options there, ladies.
Where's this come from? Why are you doing fantasy football stuff suddenly?
Because he was going on about it at the start of the show, wasn't he?
Oh, blame me.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Blame PTD.
Mm. Serge Aurier's got four assists and Son Heung-min has got seven and no one else has got anywhere... Well, actually, no one's got more than Serge apart from Son.
In Spurs.
At Spurs, yeah.
Yeah, how about that? So, yes, Burnley hosting Norwich. I would dare to suggest that could be a home win. What about this one? We'll finish the FA Cup previewing here with West Ham at home to West Brom. Bilic up against his old team. Top of the championship going against a team who have concerns about relegation. This is set up for the cup set.
It's a lovely bit of narrative. Absolutely stunning to see that West Brom are top of the championship. They haven't won in their last six games in the league.
Last time they won in the league was 14th of December.
Still top.
Yeah.
Leeds don't want it. Fulham doing their best to not want it.
Yeah, Fulham are sort of edging. They're doing the Fulham thing. They're very, very politely approaching it, going, yeah. If you don't mind, yeah. I mean, if you are going to keep losing games, we will eventually get there, but we won't put too much pressure on you.
Don't want to put you out.
Yeah.
We want this
to be your decision, ultimately.
I was having a chat with Matt Dyson, friend of the show.
Oh, yeah. Matty
and also host of a Fantasy Premier League podcast as well.
And Nottingham Forest fan.
And yeah. That's what, yeah.
Tricky Trees.
Did I say Nottingham Forest?
No.
No, but I did.
He's a Nottingham Forest fan who's saying that they just need goals. They just need one more striker and the momentum. It is open for a challenge.
All we need is goals.
We'll
start packing our bags for the Prem then. Nonsense. But speaking of goals, outrageous. Though, West Brom, Charlie Austin, Hal Robson-Kanu among their ranks. There's goals in there. Matty Phillips as well, he's been among them. Got older heads, Gareth Barron, Chris Brunt, very much the Statler and Wardorf on the bench, I'd imagine. Not playing too much, of course. Jake Livermore's in there. It could be a cup set.
And on the other side of that, West Ham are about as creaky as that as well.
Yeah. I look forward to Slaven Bilic being fired as coach of West Brom in about December of this year with them rock bottom of the Premier League.
Oh, yeah, you're right, this year. Sorry. Yeah. get your years right. Of course, Vardy went off injured against West Ham. So I don't know who England are going to field.
I listened to the coverage of that on the radio and it was amazing. It was Pat Nevin. And I forget who the commentator was. Vardy goes down. Mm. And Pat Nevin just goes, oh, he's twanged his hamstring. That's a bad one, that. Mm. He looks like he's completely pulled his hamstring. Oh, dear, terrible. Jamie Vardy, what a great season he's having, et cetera, et cetera. You know, England this, England that. Talked about how severe the hamstring was, how it looked like it was exactly the same as Harry Kane. And then went, oh, no, actually, he's back on. He's back on. And I thought, that is so Jamie Vardy.
I'll
give it a go. No, you've torn your hamstring. I'll give it a go. Do I need it? I've got another one.
Roger said it was a thigh problem.
Yeah, apparently
bad. It's not as bad, so that's cool. That's cool.
Thank goodness for that. Otherwise, Troy Deeney would be up there.
Can you imagine how strong his hamstrings are? It would be like those rubber bands they used to put inside the He-Man figures so you couldn't separate the legs.
It would be.
So tight and strong.
Can I just say, I wouldn't be against Troy Deeney.
In the England side?
Yeah. in the squad.
Love that.
In the squad.
And Grealish. All the boys getting a chance.
No, Troy Deeney in the England camp for the Euros on a reign of terror.
Yeah.
Keeping a little scrotes in check.
I tell you what, he wouldn't give a damn, would he?
Nah. He'd be loving it as well.
Did you see his little celebration against the Villa fans?
Yeah. He's not a man to be messed with.
Certainly not.
It's time for Betway's Four to Score. Each week, of course, we participate in Four to Score for a chance to win a huge prize for charity. Betway's Four to Score entry is free. Just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. If you're correct, you can win up to £50,000 this week. Head to betway.com/4to-score. That's /4 and then to score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Jim, who is absent, has gone for, I say he's gone for it, I picked it for him. He's gone for Matt Phillips in the first game, West Ham v West Brom. Matt Phillips seems to play a lot, so I think that's probably a safe bet.
He's been among the goals. I think he's the third top scorer.
Joint top scorer, I think. Peter, you've got Southampton versus Spurs.
I've got for Christian Eriksen. He might get a goal, or they might be serving him for a big bit of money.
I think Mourinho said he will play.
Oh, okay.
So he might be a parting shot.
Yeah, then they'll get a big bit of money.
No, a parting shot, which then Levy uses as an excuse to ask for 2 more million.
He doesn't get it. Yeah.
I've got Hull v Chelsea. I've gone for Jared Bowen.
Mix it up.
And Marcus, you've got Fulham v Man City.
It's at Man City.
It is. Sorry. Apologies. I've written that wrong.
I thought to myself, would maybe a long ranger from knockout begin the proceedings? But he was injured. He was out injured against Charlton midweek. So, and I thought to myself, and that is also a ridiculous thing to think that Manchester City won't score the first goal. So Gabriel Jesus, because I think he will start.
All right, cool. So that's Matt Phillips, Christian Eriksen, Jared Bowen, and Gabriel Jesus. If all those guys score first, we win at least a share of £50,000 for charity. Go to betway.com/4 to score for more information and to play for free. 18 plus, gamble responsibly, bet the responsible way. Peter.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to play for free as well. The moment of the week we've all been waiting for. It's the Masked Winger!
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
It's time for the Masked Winger. Once again, I've got a winger in mind.
Get your box.
Get me box on. It's not a box, it's a mask.
Did you see who was on, obviously, the Masked Singer?
Teddy, wasn't it?
But Teddy Sheringham.
Teddy Sheringham, yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
I can't believe we're not even getting paid to.
The Masked Singer's on the BBC, is that right?
No, ITV.
Come on now.
They weren't commissioned.
In a couple of years.
Not in today's political climate.
In about 5 years' time, they'll just do a derivative, like The Voice.
Yeah.
So they'll have the Masked Singer, but they'll rotate slowly, like a rotisserie chicken. Right. Let's get in the mask.
They will have the Masked Winger, Pete, and you'll present it.
Yeah.
Like this.
Jesus Christ. There's a guy called Hamish who's come up with the clues. I wonder if it's a Hamish that man was getting upset with a little early on.
No, he was called Damien.
Damien, of course it is.
So it probably won't be.
Born June 24th, 1979.
Mm. Ooh. Ooh, immediately, I don't know.
Okay, then. In fifth grade, I was selected for my City Junior All-Star Teams tour of the Soviet Union, even though the team was only meant to include sixth graders Marcus Bella.
Andrei Kanchelskis.
No.
Stop. Landon Donovan.
No. I have made...
Tour of the Soviet Union?
He said sixth grade. I thought it was American.
Okay.
I have made 98 international appearances and scored 24 goals, appearing at the 2006 and 2010 World Cup.
Hang on, where's Andrei Kanchelskis from? He played for Russia, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he's Soviet. So it's not going to be a tour of the Soviet Union.
No, but they could have a tour around the country.
A home tour.
Yeah, you could have a tour. We did a tour of England, didn't we?
Do the clue again.
Sorry. Okay, what was that? I have made... Not yet. It's absolute Marcus level technique. I have made 98 international appearances and scored 24 goals, appearing at the 2006 and 2010 World Cup.
So he's about 40 years old as well.
Yeah.
Who's under there?
In November 2006, I scored a free kick versus Man United that Matt Letizia ranked as the best 5 free kick goals he'd ever seen. He says a lot of stuff, though, doesn't he?
That's anything he says.
Yeah.
Stop. Seb Larson.
It's not Seb Larson. In November of 2006, I scored a free kick versus Manchester United. I've said that. I can't see through my little hole in the mask!
This is your quiz.
We apologise.
I've spent time in Italy, Spain and Scotland, but I spent most of my career in Japan.
Oh.
Italy, Spain, Scotland, Japan.
I knew he played in Scotland because old Hamish sounds like...
Stop. Is it Hidetoshi Nakata?
It's not, no.
What's his career in Japan?
Yeah.
On a Japanese TV show, I slotted a free kick through a moving bus's window. The video went viral.
Wow, that's good. It's impressive.
Well done.
Well done. I was the first Japanese player to score on the Old Firm.
Oh, it's got to be the guy for Celtic, Marcus. What's his name?
Stop. Nakamura.
Can I get a full name?
Yeah. Come on.
He's got it. He's got it. I've helped you out there again.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Mask Winger.
When training at Celtic, manager Gordon Strachan saw me miscontrol a ball because of the terrible weather. He called off training, saying, if he can't control it, the rest of you haven't got a chance.
Oh, nice.
lovely story.
When did you say his date of birth was, Pete?
June 24th, 1978.
Yeah.
79, you said?
You said 79.
Oh, come on.
That's, well...
Threw me off.
Yeah, threw me
as
off.
As I say, that is bullshit, but I'll apologise. But I'll also blame it on the mask.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right. Hey, can we just... He's also got silence there. Pete apologises or something.
That's not going to happen very often.
Outrageous.
Pete, he's also got an asteroid named after him. 29986 Shinsuke is named in his honour.
Yeah, cool.
Great. His first name team...
Shinsuke, isn't it?
Shinsuke.
Oh, okay. That freak against Shinsuke. Man United, I believe it was Champions League.
Oh, it was amazing.
It was magnificent.
Top right.
Absolutely.
See you later.
Absolutely magnificent.
See you later, divs.
No, you can't. You've got to play the rest of the game. Imagine if we went, no, see you later. No, there's still 20 minutes left.
Too good.
We've used up all our stuff.
If you can't save that, no one else has got a chance. Let's finish the game now.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. That was a good one. Well done,
everyone.
Lovely old job. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've reached the end of the preview show on Football Ramble Daily. Of course, sponsored by Betway. I'll be back tomorrow with Jonathan Wilson for another great game on the Greatest Games podcast. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, PED.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking out?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.